death is the number one fear of our world because people don't have answers. They don't have the good news. But here's the good news. The greatest source to conquer fear. Because you know why you exist, who you belong to, God Almighty, and where you're going, heaven. I read this morning in my readings, Jesus says, believe in me, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Why? If I go to heaven, I go to prepare a place for you. Again, a place in heaven. And I will come back and bring you to myself. For where I'm going, you will be also. I'm reading that this morning and I'm like, yes!
Hey everyone, welcome back to Live in the Light, featuring the teaching ministry of Pastor Robbie Simons. Hey, it's a very special time of year, that being Christmas, and we thought we would take a pause from our regular programming to focus in on the incredible, the astonishing good news that Christmas is to us in Christ. Today's message takes us right into Luke's gospel and the overwhelming truth of the incarnation. It's the greatest news, and it comes with the greatest joy imaginable. Without anything further, let's dive now into Luke chapter 2, and here now is Pastor Robbie with today's teaching.
This is the impact he left. By far, the most influential person to have ever lived. Second place isn't even close. He has been changing lives ever since he came, and he continues to do it today, right now, right now, right now, across this world, transforming people from death to life in miraculous ways all over the globe. Because it's good news that leads to great joy. He said, he came, but why did God send his son? Because we were enchained in our own sin. Because we were imprisoned in our sin, because we were held captive by death, and we can't find a way out. We try all the time, but humans can't do it. So Christmas becomes a rescue plan for humanity. Christmas is a light of hope in an otherwise dark world. I mean, even as the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds. That's one of those DVDs I'm going to put in heaven. I guess we don't use DVDs too much anymore. But you know what I mean? I'm going to watch that happen. That was the glory of the Lord shone around them. And listen, because it's like a metaphor of the light of the world that's shining in the dark. The light and darkness are massive metaphors in Scripture. That's why Jesus said this, John 12, verse 46. I'll just quote it for you. He said this. Jesus says, who's this for right now? I came into the world as light. I came into the world as light with the purpose of so that, ready? Whoever believes in me, whoever does good works. No. The Bible doesn't teach that. You don't do good works and gain entrance into heaven because you'll never be good enough. Whoever believes in me, he says, ready, will not remain in darkness. Wow, that's so interesting. I came into the world as light that whoever believes in me, will not remain in darkness. What Jesus is saying is, apart from him, we're in darkness. You say, what kind of darkness? Well, just think of the darkness in the room right now. Think of those who are in absolute bondage to pornographic lust right now. Think of that lust that is ruining lives and causing marriages to be broken down and causing dads and children to be split apart and causing unfaithfulness and hurt and devastation and causing men to go live a double life. That's just one example of darkness, not to mention the addiction in the room. The addiction that is stripping people of all morality and causing them to be hollowed out from the inside out. What about the scene of hurt, unforgiveness, bitterness, relational strife, the darkness again of lies, the darkness of depression, the darkness of suicide growing at an all-time rate, the darkness of evil, the darkness of violence, the darkness of deceit, the darkness of cheating, the darkness of, again, lying to one another, the darkness that is so prevalent in our day. Jesus says, that's why I came. I came as light within the darkness. Listen, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, right, will no longer walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's a massive theme within Christmas, within the story of the Bible. That's why it's such good news. No wonder the angel says, man, I bring you good news. The angel's saying, listen, for those without hope, I bring you a message of hope. For those who are lost, some right now, you're lost. Just one thing to the next. Why? You can't give an answer. I'm telling you, just wisdom says, don't wait to your deathbed to all of a sudden say, wait a second, what am I trying to do with my life? Don't do that. You have the opportunity to not do that right now. The angel says, to those who are lost, I bring you God's map for life and purpose. Your very reason for your existence is found in the good news of Jesus Christ. For those who are miserable in their sin, and they keep trying to satisfy themselves with more sin, but it makes them more empty, and they're so discouraged and depressed. God says, I bring you a message of joy that overcomes that. Here's a big one. For those who are filled with shame, and you go up and down the aisles right now, and the amount of shame in the room, the amount of consciences that just will not let them go, the amount of regret that is there. Listen, the Christmas message is a message of grace. And listen, and forgiveness. Jesus came as light that you and I might be cleansed of every sin we've ever committed, past, present, and future. Every single one. Jesus came to die for us because we could not save ourselves. That's why there's so much good news at Christmas. He's come, the Savior of the world has arrived who will save us from ourselves. Notice within the Christmas story, and this is so key, the angels appear to shepherds. Shepherds again. The bottom of the totem pole, the lowest of the low, despised by society. No one wanted that job. Why would God appear to show? Why not to the kings of the land? Because one of the realities of this good news, it is most often received by those who know they need him. You see, the proud, they don't need anyone because they think they're it. The arrogant, well, they think they're God themselves. That's most of our society right now. But God has over and over, he appeared, Mary and Joseph, they were basically peasants from Nazareth. Like no one wanted to live in Nazareth. They're born in Bethlehem, this like nothing town. They're a bunch of people, there's no big procession. There's no major announcement on the news feeds. There's no kings and queens that are there. It's just this humble beginning, born in a feeding trough because God works with those who admit they need him. He opposes the proud, Bible says, he gives grace to the humble. Christmas story, man, is a symbol and a metaphor that when you and I can admit our need for a Savior, that's when the Lord comes in with his love in such a powerful way. And who needs to hear that right now? And the Christmas story, it's good news, is the answer to fear. The shepherds, they were filled with fear. Again, understandably, one of the first commands, the angel says, but fear not. Question, are you fearful? Are you fearful right now? Well, the answer for almost every single person here is yeah, big time. We've never been more fearful. Fearful of the past, fearful of the present, fearful of the future, and everything in between. Everything makes us afraid these days. Trying to control our life because we're so fearful, we clamp on with more control. And because we know we can't ultimately control our lives, it makes us even more fearful. And the anxiety and the stress. The Christmas message is such good news because it is the solution to ultimate fear. Are you fearful? I want you to notice something in one of the most famous Christmas television shows ever. And obviously you should know that is the Charlie Brown Christmas show. And in the Charlie Brown Christmas show, Charlie Brown's exasperated. And he goes, anyone know the meaning of Christmas? And Mr. Security Blanket himself, Linus steps up to the plate because Linus was a great preacher, all right? So he says, I'll tell you what it's about. As Linus brings it and throws it down, it's interesting, you know, Mr. Security Blanket, as I said, Linus, have you ever seen him without his blanket? You know, Charles Schulz, who wrote this, and just whether his intention, it's pretty awesome though. The only time I've ever seen Linus without his blanket is that clip right there. It's the moment when he says, fear not. You know, I think of like these security, I got one of these child security blankets and you know, but so many adults have these too, right? Like not like this, but our security blankets of what? Just trying to control, we're so fearful for our reputation. We're so insecure. Our society is so insecure. Insecure about reputation, as I said, insecure about our finances, insecure about our relationships, insecure about our future, insecure about our jobs, insecure about our identity, insecure. It's amazing how rampant insecurity is, and we keep trying to make up for it by holding on to things that ultimately will never last. The message that is said is Linus, again, Mr. Security Blanket, at the moment he says the gospel, the good news, the moment he starts to preach and indicate the reality of his hope and life and the reality of the Christmas story, he says, fear not. He says, fear not. And then the blanket is released, because at that moment, again, why would you fear when you understand the power of the Christmas story, that the Savior of the world has come, that has come to be living and die for your sins, be raised from the dead, that in the end, you don't even have to fear death itself. Love, the Christmas story is death has been defeated by the Savior that was sent to die for you and me. That becomes so, so powerful. So that's why you have a genuine person who follows Jesus Christ. You look death in the face and you're like, I'm not afraid, because death has no sting. In fact, death becomes the entranceway to life. Death is the number one fear of our world, because people don't have answers. They don't have the good news. But here's the good news. The greatest source to conquer fear, because you know why you exist, who you belong to, God Almighty, and where you're going, heaven. I read this morning in my readings, Jesus says, believe in me, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Why? If I go to heaven, I go to prepare a place for you. Again, a place in heaven. And I will come back and bring you to myself. For where I'm going, you will be also. I'm reading that this morning and I'm like, yes! Jesus has saved me. He's coming back for me. He has a spot for me in heaven. I cannot lose. I'm with him. That's good news. And I start to feel some joy, and fear dissipates. The power of living for someone greater than yourself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. Listen, ready? It's brought to you. Hey, make it personal right now. Radio. It's brought to you right now. What are you going to do about it? No accidents right now, man. It's brought to you right now. God's speaking to you. Why? You see, why God speaks to you? Because he loves you. He cares for more than you can ever imagine. Bible says that God wishes that none should perish, but all should receive everlasting life. He loves you. That's why he has you here right now. That's why you're listening on live stream. That's why you're over for listening. He loves you so much, and he's speaking to you. You know, one of the things I wanted to realize, we talk about this good news. A lot of people will say, this good news, it's actually fake news. And they try to trash Jesus and the Bible and whatnot. But just be wise enough again. Now, pride will only listen to what you want to listen to. But just if you're objective enough to look at all the people who say God is dead, and all the people that start saying the Bible is going to fade away, all the people that say the church is dead. It's amazing to me. Those people die and Jesus Christ keeps going. Like over all the years. I mean, you know, I love the saying with the Bible. The saying is this, the Bible will always rise up to outlive its pallbearers. Right? So all the people that are to the Bible, like, dun, 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 and they try to bury it and they die, and the Bible's like, woo-hoo, here we go. And it keeps going. I mean, it's just a fact. You look on history, so many people have predicted the demise of God, and yet God is absolutely radically changing lives across this world. Fastest growing church in the world, China. Millions of people coming to faith. Multiple times the whole population of Canada saved it, and the whole government in China is hell-bent to destroy them, and yet they've never been flourishing more. Why? Because God's on his throne. He's building his church. He sent his son to save, and those who know they need him, they find him, and their lives are changed by him. See, because he's real. The media will never tell you that. We're trying to tell you that today just to get our perspective bigger, to say, man, this is good news being brought to you. To you. Make it personal. Today, and the good news is that the Son of God has arrived. Question, have you received this good news? Now, know this, man. The second part of this message is good news will always lead to great joy. The good news here will always lead to great joy. Now, why would it lead to great joy? Well, because What Christmas, the message Christmas was sending was a spiritual darkness, you're about to be destroyed. Satan, your head's about to be crushed. Peace with God is about to be available to everyone. Freedom is about to be proclaimed to those who are in the prison of sin. God is about to be accessed freely by anyone with faith. The kingdom of God, when Jesus came, the kingdom of God was now on earth. Salvation was now present, and then the sting of death was about to be put to death. So when you kind of sit back and you look at the Christmas story, the good news, you're like, that's a lot of good news. And that's what results in great joy. This is where the joy comes from. See, it's recognizing the magnitude of this Christmas story. Now, I love Christmas carols, and I especially ones with like solid truth in them. And I came across a Christmas carol this week I've never seen before, maybe because it was written in the late 1500s, but it's still sung today, as I found out, but I'll put it on the screen for you. The title is this little babe, so a few days old. It's got some old English, but I'll explain it to you. So it says this. This is awesome. This little babe, so few days old, is come to rifle. That means ransack Satan's fold. I love this line. All hell does at his presence quake, though he himself for cold does shake. You see, the Son of God comes in the ultimate form of humility. This little baby in a feeding trough surrounded by animals. I mean, who would be afraid of that? The spiritual realm, darkness, would be terrified of that because they know who he is. He has come to destroy them. Again, 1 John 4, the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. See, this is written so well. And the last line, for in this week, unarmed wives, meaning position. I mean, Jesus came in such an apparent weakness. He's totally unarmed. He's a baby. The gates of hell, he will surprise. You see, so we can look at Christmas often, and maybe you've done this and you've been focusing on Santa Claus and whatever, blah, 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 blah. But you can even at a Christian view of Christmas, and you go, oh, nativity, yeah, so there's some shepherds and some wise men, and then Mary and Joseph, and they look sweet, and then there's little baby Jesus in a manger and some animals. Oh, look at the animals. They're so cute. I'm sure they all were. But the reality is, Christmas is God declaring war on evil. Christmas is sending his son to take death by the throat and strangle death itself. Christmas is all out war on Satan and his demons. Christmas is declaring again, spiritual war, that we might be saved by the light and life and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what results in great joy. You understand why you live and who you live for. So question, do you have that kind of joy? True joy. What kind of joy? Inner joy. Now, the world tries to sell you like a superficial joy. You know, like I have a bite of a hamburger, I really like, oh, I'm so joyful, I'm happy. But then it fades away as soon as you feel bloated, right? Right? But inner joy is that joy that transcends our circumstances. So despite our trials, that's why people following Christ, they will be burned at the stake over the centuries for their faith. They will call out to God to forgive those who are murdering them as they're burning to death. How do you do that? Inner joy. When you know this life isn't it, that you are living for the life to come in heaven with God, that creates an inner joy. Do you have that? It creates a lasting joy. A joy that can't be taken from you. It can't be diminished. It cannot fade. It's a certain joy. It's guaranteed, permanent, promised by God himself. A joy that will last for eternity. Listen, this is so important. It's a joy that ultimately is supernatural. It's produced and given by the Holy Spirit as he comes and reigns in you and produces. If you've experienced this, you'll know what I'm talking about because you cannot manufacture this on your own. The world, now listen, the world tries to promise you and tries to deliver joy in this way, but the world can never, ever deliver that. For instance, this past week, I'm driving down a highway going into the city of Toronto and I see this massive billboard and it says, the gift of joy. Now like, that gets my attention. I'm like, really? Okay, so what is it? And then I look and a huge gift of joy and it's sponsored by the Shopping Channel. So I'm like, okay, this has gotta be good. And what they're saying is I saw some blenders on the billboard and maybe a few spatulas. And they're saying is, listen, we will promise you joy if you buy our blender. Now really, do you really think the Shopping Channel can deliver on that promise of giving you an inner, lasting, guaranteed joy that's produced only by the Holy Spirit of God that reigns for eternity? No, it can't do that. But it tries to make you believe every day that it can deliver on things it has no business promising you in any regard. And it's all around us all the time. The next vacation, the next job, the next blessing of the family, the next item, the next piece of clothing, the next gadget, next thing. Hey, you want joy? Come here and buy it. Incorrect. And we all know deep down, every time the world makes that promise, it never works out the way we want it to. Last just for a moment. And the next thing we know, it's gone. And we get more depressed than when we began because one more thing let us down in this world. I'm telling you, man, the good news is here. And it results in great joy. Jesus Christ is the source of great joy, because then you inherit and you receive by grace. It's a gift, but you put your faith in him and you know your purpose. You know your future. You know that you belong to God. You know you are saved. You know your sin has been covered once and for all by Jesus, and you will never, ever die. Now that's a joy the world can't even get close to or even smell. That's the good news found at Christmas in Jesus Christ that results in great joy. Do you have this joy? Some of you, listen to that right now. You are desperate for this. Some of you are. Some of you are desperately wanting that kind of joy. I'm telling you, man, you're here for a reason right now. Like, this isn't accidental. You're hearing the answer. Say, why? Because you're so loved. Because God loves you so much that he gave his son to die for you. You're like, but why would he die for me? I know. That's how mind-blowing this love is. You're like, I don't deserve that love. I know, trust me. I know. I don't deserve it either. That's the whole reason it's a gift. We don't deserve gifts. They're grace. Jesus is the gift of gifts. He's the grace of God, and he came to shine light into your darkness and mine, that we might be cleansed and saved and redeemed and find purpose and value as sons and daughters of the living God. Now, for some of you, honestly, if you really think about this, in some ways you're like, this is too good to be true. Like, Robbie, you don't know me. Like, this can't be for me. I mean, how can I know this is for me? Well, this is the rest of verse 10. And our third point, for all people. You see, verse 10, I bring you good news, great joy. That will be for all the people. There it is. This is the best part of the news. It's for all people. I love this. It's not bound by class or race or gender. It's not limited to geography or socioeconomics or citizenship. This good news is offered to all people. And I think right now, I just want you to listen very, very carefully, because I want to say some truth in the midst of some lies that you're believing right now. And this is a message of light right now. Listen, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you feel you've been, no matter how awful your past, no matter how grievous your heart or actions have been, no matter how many people that you've hurt, listen, it's a message of life no matter what you've done. It's the message of life and light, listen, no matter where you've been. See, if you could see the places I've been, if you could see the situations I found myself in, if you could see even right now, the things I'm doing right now, there's no way God could love me and forgive me. You're wrong, man. Do never, ever underestimate the power of grace and the coverage of love for your sin and mine. And that's the thing I want you to see. This is a message of love, no matter who you are or who you feel you aren't. See, the whole message of the good news, the gospel of the Christian faith, it doesn't matter how wrong you've been. It doesn't matter how much you feel you've messed up. You see, that is the point of the love of Christ. He takes every single fault and sin and failure and washes you clean and makes you new and causes you to live for him, that you might know the joy of what it means to have true life and true meaning. It's a wonder. Just a little bit of faith, a little bit of faith, and your whole life could change. What are you living for? You say, how could this be? Like, what does Jesus do to save me? Well, that's the whole reason for verse 11, right? See, the angel shows up and says, listen, I got good news of great joy for all people. What is it? Here it is. Unto you, make it personal today, man. This is for you right now. Unto you is born this day. Notice three things: a savior, who is the Christ, who is Lord. Why is Jesus our savior? Saves us from our sins. We can't save ourselves, man. We tried, doesn't work. He has come to save us. He has come to redeem us from our sins, to cleanse us, to pay for our punishment on the cross. He's the savior of the world. He's the Christ. Christ means anointed one, the Messiah. He's the chosen one. He is sent by God. He is the only one who can come to be the light of the world and the bread of life and the living water and the great I am and the door and the good shepherd. He's the only one. He's the only one who can make way for us to get to heaven. He's the Christ. He's it. All these false Christs all over the place. Jesus is the Christ. And listen, he's the Lord. Lord means master or ruler. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's in control of all things. He will not be pushed around. Whatever he has set out to do, he will do because he is the Lord of the universe. You see, that's how we're saved, by the Savior who is the Christ and who is the Lord. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Almighty appeared to shepherds and gave them a message that would cause them to be never the same again. And 2,000 years later, he's still doing that right now to you in this place, at this time, at this exact moment. He is calling people to himself. With a little bit of faith, you can be saved and never die, that you might not then live for yourself, but live for him. I want to make this crystal clear. If you follow Jesus Christ, your life will get harder. It'll just be infinitely better. Life for me was way easier before Christ. Man, did it stink. And now in Jesus, he's just worth it. He's so worth it. He's so real and so alive, and he's so loving. And he's calling people to himself again today. You know, that song, Silent Night, it's so beautiful. Silent Night, Holy Night. Listen, Son of God, Son of God, Son of God loves pure light. See? The love of God's purity seen in the light in the face of Jesus Christ. The song says, radiant beams from my holy face. Radiant beams. What it must have been like to look in that manger as those shepherds. With the dawn of redeeming grace. See, Christmas was the sunrise of the redemption and the grace, the gift of God for humanity. And then it says, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Of course, he's Lord. From the moment he arrives, he's been Lord for eternity, and he has come to set us free. So again, I ask you as I end right here, do you have this good news? Have you received this good news? Do you know this great joy? And have you realized it's offered to all people? To all people. God's calling you. Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. It's almost as simple as that. You just tell him, I know I'm a sinner. I know me too. And I need a Savior. Once and for all, man. I'm not waiting till next Christmas. Now. I want to get this done now. Jesus, I believe you're real. I believe you lived. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you're coming back one day, and I want to be on your team. I want to belong to you. So I give my life to you. Save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray you are working. I know you are working. I pray specifically you are saving even right now. Yes, Lord, may the good news of great joy be received, Lord, by hundreds these last couple of days. Again, call out to him. It takes a little bit of faith to see a whole life transformed. Yes, Lord, show them that you're the answer, that you are love and light and life. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca.
Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they would be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ.
That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.